morning. Today we have a very, very accomplished entrepreneur and a very close friend, Sandeep Tyagi, with us. And Sandeep is going to talk to us about his journey and about all his experiences. Sandeep, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Ashutosh. It's a pleasure to be here at Brand Called You, and thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about your early education. I know you have done some amazing things even in your educational life, from studying in Chandigarh at DAV, then coming to IIT, being amongst one of the toppers in IIT, then going to Columbia Business School. Talk a little bit about your educational journey and then your first job.
So my educational journey was started in Punjab. Unlike, I guess, these days we have on very focused high school education, I changed my high school three times from 10th to 12th. So I studied in Patiala, Faridkot, and then Chandigarh for my 10th, 11th, and 12th. Then came to IIT Delhi, did my computer science there. And after working for a couple of years all over Southeast Asia in the oil industry, I went to Columbia in New York City and have been living in New York City and New Jersey area for the last about 25 years. The first job was with a company called A.T. Kearney, which is a management consulting firm, after MBA. And there I learned how to work with financial institutions, which were huge. So I worked with American Express, Citibank, Goldman Sachs, Merrill Lynch, many of the large financial institutions, and helped them understand how to make better decisions using data.
And then after that, you joined Mitchell Madison?
So that's an interesting story, how fate intervenes. I had joined A.T. Kearney, happy to be a career consultant. But EDS bought A.T. Kearney.
This EDS of the Ross Perot fame?
Yes. Okay. So they bought A.T. Kearney in 1994. Mm-hmm. And the EDS and A.T. Kearney, bulk of A.T. Kearney's business used to be focused on industrial companies. Mm-hmm. And we had a small outpost of an office in New York City, which was focused on financial services. So the partners in that firm, and I was a young associate just starting out, decided they didn't want to be part of a large industrial consulting arm. And we bought ourselves out. There were 27 of us in New York and started a firm called Mitchell Madison Group. There was no Mr. Mitchell, no Mr. Madison. It was a group of people with names like Steiner and Gupta and others. So we named ourselves with a nice sounding name like Mitchell Madison. And that's how the company got started. But it was doing very similar work as A.T. Kearney and McKinsey and BCG, doing strategy consulting for financial institutions.
Wonderful. And then I remember you telling me that you were one of the senior partners and then decided that you wanted to become an entrepreneur.
I was still pretty young. I became a partner along that journey. I was doing quite well fairly early on and was very fortunate to be placed in the right spot, right time, because I got to do two practices which were given to me. One was e-commerce, the other was data analytics. This was in 96, 97, 98.
Both subjects which were very early on in your life, which are very current today.
Extremely current and extremely relevant in terms of where the economy went.
Correct.
So luck and right time, right place played a big part. And I was fortunate to ride those two waves, because the demand was simply crazy, first for e-commerce and then later in my career for data analytics. So that's how I became a early, I guess, focus on data analytics and e-commerce and started doing a lot of that. I remember that there were people who were willing to spend $1 million to build a very simple app just to help people set up tennis games. And I also remember that as I was going grocery shopping in the India section in Queens in New York, somebody who I didn't know walked up to me and told me that, "You look like somebody who is from the world of e-commerce." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, how do you know?" This is in grocery shopping. So this person then says, "Well, are you?" And I said, "Yes, I work for a consulting firm and we do e-commerce consulting." So he reaches into his bag and pulls out 15 pages and he says, "Here's a business plan." That's the day I knew that this has reached a peak and a bubble. So that was the journey with early Mitchell Madison Consulting.
Okay. And then what led you to start your first venture in Inductis?
I wish I could tell you everything is well planned and I had this laid out when I was 16 years old, but not so. Mm-hmm. The way it happened was that my colleagues within that firm, as we were leaving Mitchell Madison, we had a very good exit And we merged with a larger company, which was called Whitman Hart, and they merged with another company called US Web CKS, and the whole thing became March 1st. And by the way, we spent several million dollars to get that name. Went public and was listed as a joint entity on New York Stock Exchange on March 4th of 2000. But I, along with several other people, could see that the valuations were crazy. So we decided to leave and start our own firm doing something different. It's a different matter that we were right there participating in the overheated environment because we decided to start an internet company ourselves. And that's how we got started with my first venture. But then somewhere along the way, the senior partner who had come to this venture with me decided to go do another job as a president of a large company. And I was left there with three of my managers, and we sat around the table and said, what should we do now? And none of us had decided or planned to be the CEOs or founders of these companies. Mm-hmm. But that's how Inductus was born. So that company got started more as a survival tactic after our initial plans failed. It became a consulting firm. It had about 300 people doing data analytics and did very well.
And then the operation grew quite significantly. And then you decided to exit and sell to EXL.
That's right. So in 2006, the environment was, again, looking like it is overheated. So that's a theme in my life. I think I've been fortunate enough to be surrounded by advisors. So the first company, Mitchell Madison, we exited end of 99, start of 2000, pretty much right at the top. Inductus, we exited around middle of 2006, so maybe a year and a half earlier than the peak of the cycle, but it was looking a little bit riskier. And I got good advice that the way to build this business further is to make part of a larger entity. Mm-hmm. EXL has been a fantastic home for that company. That business, when I left it, was about 300 people. Now it is 2,000 people. It has grown from 30 million roughly in revenue to several hundred million now, almost 250 to 300 million in revenue.
You might be one of the few people who have had a very successful exit of the first business venture. Any regrets in leaving something that you started?
So this is how people get into your head. I don't have any regrets, but every now and then I meet my friends or old colleagues, and analytics business has since 2006 become even hotter. Mm-hmm. Actually, by some measures, a few years ago, I think analytics was absolutely the rage. And there are several companies which were much smaller than Inductus, which are now valued at several hundred million, if not billions of dollars. So people will try to put regret in your mind. And sometimes in a weaker moment, I'd look back and say, oh, if I wish I had that company still. But the reality is, every step also allows you to do many more things. So that journey with the exit allowed me to pursue many different things, and it has been fantastic. So no look backs.
Your advice to all our people watching, would it be that a bird in hand is better than two in the bush?
The advice is never look back. You take your journey, you take your path, and whichever path you take, you would take it with all due consideration. In US, there's a term called Monday morning coach. So it's very easy after the game is done to come back and say, this is how you should have played. Mm-hmm. But you got to play the game the best you can and go with it. So sometimes it's better to have a bird in hand. Sometimes it's better to hold on and don't second guess yourself.
So let's move on. You formed a new venture, ST Advisors. Tell us a little bit about ST. Talk a little bit about your business. Talk about how you have scaled up around the world and what are your plans for ST.
So this is again a step that was quite, I would not say it was very precisely planned when I started it. 2008, when I exited from Inductus, I was feeling well-to-do and rich, and 2008 crisis struck and my exit money was being managed by some of the best wealth managers companies in US. And I saw my net worth plunge by 60% between, you know, beginning of 2008 to end of 2008. And that was a painful experience. So as I sat there wondering what I should do, I thought the best thing to do is figure out how to build something which will do this systematically in a better way. And that's how the journey of ST started. And thank you for being an investor throughout our journey. I think we have been fortunate. We started a fund called iAlpha that has generated 11 to 18% return, and touch on wood, it has never had a negative month in nearly 10 years that it's been running.
Yeah.
So that has been good. But the core theme here has been somewhat similar to where I started my career. It combines computer science and analytics. So it uses the computer science and analytics to do better investments, to do systematic investments. We do not use a lot of subjective decision-making in investments. We use a lot of mathematical models. We use a lot of precision using computer science on how to execute on those models. That's what the business is. So we started with only India. For first 4 years till 2012, it was only focused on India. And we started trading and investing through all the markets. So NSE, BSE, MCX, and now there are two in Gandhinagar with Gift City.
And would it be okay to say that you're probably one of the largest in the country today?
By turnover, that would certainly be true. Since we do high frequency trading and we use machines to trade, depending on the market segment, we could represent anywhere from few percentage points to over 10, 15% of the market volumes.
Wow. Okay.
So started with India, and then we have expanded, now present in 5 countries, Brazil, Singapore, Dubai, and United States.
So before I move on to the next question, the 3 opportunities that you have come across, you have very, very casually mentioned that things just happened. And you seem to have stumbled along, which may not necessarily have happened without a lot of determination for the way you are implementing the things that are happening. Yes, everything has a bit of luck, but you seem to have been in all the right places, taking the right decisions. What made you do these things?
I would say being true to what my journey was so far always allows you to go in a way that makes sense for you. So when I was a student, my father, my grandfather, both my grandfathers were doctors, and it was assumed that I should become a doctor. But I had a pretty horrible way with drawing. So the only thing I could draw well was amoeba, mm-hmm. because it has no shape. So I could not be a doctor. I could not remember spellings. And in biology, I had no idea why, but they have very long names.
Yeah.
So those two things I couldn't do, but math I could. So that little difference between what I could do and what I couldn't do led me to study math. That led me to study engineering. That led me to study computer science. And because I knew computer science and I was a young, growing partner in Mitchell Madison, the average director in a consulting firm tends to have 15 years of experience. Now, I had qualified in one dimension. I had lost my hair or turned gray. So I could be a director in a consulting firm, but I didn't have the experience that a consulting firm director has. So the only way I could compete was by using data. Mm-hmm. So computer science combined with data led me to focus on these two areas, which led me to do e-commerce and data analytics. So the journey is step by step. Mm-hmm. It seems like it is all at the right spot at the right time, but I guess it's just being true to what you have done so far, and then taking the next step, and not knowing the whole journey is just fine by me.
Sandeep, you're also an angel investor in several businesses, and somehow or the other, you always remain at the cutting edge of technology. So I know that you're doing a lot of investments, and you sit on several boards of companies that are in artificial intelligence. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
So the core theme there is, again, somewhere where I can add value, besides just giving them money. So the investments I have made are, there is a class fellow of mine, Jaswinder. He has built 2 companies in data analytics, one called MarketRx, another called Xtria. I have been early investor in both. I'm an investor in a new artificial intelligence startup called Yantri. I've done investment in a genetic research company called Strand Genomics, and so on and so forth. I've also done investments in healthcare analytics, in pension fund analytics. So the core theme is, can I help the entrepreneur besides just giving a check? I'm not a large check writer compared to the funds and other sources of capital that the entrepreneur would have. So the reason I should do this is because they can get some benefit, but even equally importantly, selfishly, that I should enjoy it. I invest in companies where I can learn something. I partner with entrepreneurs where I see that even though they are much younger and may not have as much experience, but they can teach me a lot because they are now working on areas that are cutting edge and interesting. So it keeps me young.
Wonderful. So one more question for you on your investments. You've launched an exciting new company called Gulluck. And Gulluck, for our viewers, I'm sure everyone knows the word, but it's the old word for what used to be piggy bank. And you've also spoken about your desire to be able to reach out to a lot of ladies and support their investment needs. Talk to us a little bit about Gulluck.
Gulluck is the latest venture. It went live on 1st February, my daughter's birthday. And the idea there is systematic investment for masses.
Okay.
So India, I think, is at an inflection point. The investments used to be in fixed deposit, in property and gold. And capital markets or mutual funds or securities were never part of most people's investment portfolio. We are planning to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea for us is that if you spend 15 minutes on our website, on our app, you should be able to hopefully get 5% more return per year from your portfolio. So ideally, we'd like to bring that time down to 5 minutes. So spend 5 minutes, optimize how you invest, and you get 5% every month additional. And do it
5% every month?
No, every year.
Every year, okay.
So every year, sorry. And the core...
I'm just going to ask you, knowing you, how much money can I handle 5% every year?
Yes, thank you for correcting. Sebi would haul me if that went through unchecked.
Yeah.
But the idea is to make it in a way that is frictionless, so it's online. Idea is to make it systematic, so that we are using it, the best techniques and methods that are used by large funds. And also the idea is to make it available through technology so it is very low cost. The mutual fund industry distribution costs somewhere between 7,000 to 10,000 crores.
Mm-hmm.
The fee part of it is another maybe 10,000 crores. So the industry is using 10,000 to 20,000 crores to simply provide financial advice and products to the retail world. And it can be done much cheaper using technology. So that's what we are trying to do.
Okay.
It's the first time I'm working on a consumer, direct-to-consumer company. Excited, really happy to learn something new.
So let me take our questions to something different now. And as I mentioned to you, I'm going to ask you a challenging question. Talk to us a little bit about your learnings from your biggest failures.
So that's a tough question, and I would expect no less from you, Ashutosh. You'd make me think. So when I reflect back, the biggest mistake was at the time, probably when I was having also my biggest success. So around 2004, we were really doing very well. We were doing cutting edge work with several companies, and as a small company getting checks which we had never seen. And flush with cash, I went out and acquired a company in Philippines, and Philippines, India, and US, which was in the outsourcing space.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why did I do it? I still don't know. Maybe hubris. I thought I could put together a much bigger company. Maybe fear. I thought that the larger companies that I could see growing had outsourcing. And if I wanted to build a bigger company, I needed to get that. But that ended up being a bit of a fiasco. We lost 85% of the capital we put in. And I'm just lucky and fortunate that in 2-3 years, I did realize my mistake and put an end to it. But that was the biggest mistake. And my learning from there is that just because you're good in one thing does not necessarily mean that you're going to be good at everything. So stick to your knitting and try to do things that where you have some innate, distinctive capability.
Okay.
That was the learning.
So all your life, you have been in what I could broadly call the fintech space. Would that be correct?
I would probably broaden it to analytics and tech.
Analytics and tech.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of young people who are looking at this space. As their closing remarks, what would your advice be to them?
Just do it. That is my advice. I think the best thing to do is when that deep desire comes, and that's what you are thinking
mm-hmm.
every day, and that's at the core of your being that you want to do something, nurture it, grow it, and do it. And what seems impossible because you cannot see where the journey will take you becomes possible because you can always see what's the next step you can take. So you just keep moving and just keep doing what you are supposed to be doing and follow your passion.
Thank you very much, Sandeep, for your time. And we hope to have you back again, maybe to talk a little more about Good Luck and its successes. Thank you once again.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. Brand Called You, I've learned a lot from your journey and your books. It's fascinating. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Sandeep.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.